This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
Today, which is the 24th of March 2018 at 14:45, it's Denise Bonham interviewing Pat and Stan Harris at their home in Diss. Pat, would you like to tell me a little bit about your brother's service?
Yes, he went into the Air Force straight from school. When he was almost 17, he went as an apprentice, a toolmaker. But the instruction was shortened because of the war. And then immediately he'd qualified, he volunteered for aircrew. And he became a navigator. And he was operating from Bardney in Lincolnshire.
Nine Squadron.
And he was with two Australians in the crew and one Canadian and one young man who was only 18. I didn't know the other two at all. And then he was reported missing. And unfortunately, we didn't know till after the war what had happened, which was a great strain on my mother, who was home alone because I was already in the Wrens. And we finally found out that they had crashed in Germany, and then they were buried after the war in Rheinberg. And we have visited that a cemetery which is beautifully kept. And it was a great loss for my mum because there were three of us girls and one son. So that was a bit sad.
But it's a long distance.
My mother was living on her own. I didn't have a father. And when I went into the Air Force, into the Navy, both my sisters were married, so she was home alone. And I hadn't been in, I was only 17 and a half when I joined up, so I'd only been in the Wrens about 6 months when he was reported missing. It was a great shock being away from home, and I really felt it greatly. My mum used to listen every evening on the wireless. They used to have a list when they heard about prisoners of war, that, and she hoped that his name would come up, but it didn't. In fact, somebody of Jack's age, who had also reported missing, she heard his name, which filled her with hope. But it wasn't to be, so we didn't know anything until the end, which was pretty grim for my mum. Yes, when Jack came on leave, sometimes the Australians came, and in fact I have a treasured little photo of the pilot with my niece, who at that time was a little tot of two, and I've got the snapshot here, which is rather sweet. Yes, we knew them, and sometimes I took Jack and the two Australians to the Kodak dances, which I used to go to religiously. And, you know, we loved having them. It was all very sad. I can remember, as he was a navigator, when we used to walk home from, if we'd been to a dance, and he used to be pointing out the various star formations to one of the lads, Alan. And it was all very interesting to have them there and hear bits from their lives. But they didn't talk about a lot of what was going on, of course. I didn't realise it was 9 Squadron. They did talk about Bardney, and they were quite happy there. And we have visited since we've been up here. We have been there, but more or less nothing to show, which is a bit sad. But we went into the church there, So it was nice to be able to point to where they'd been. And also, of course, his name is in the cathedral in the book there, and they did, you know, turn for the page for us to see it, which was rather nice.
Right.
Lincoln Cathedral. As a family, we did visit Rheinberg quite often. My mother went until she was a bit too old. My eldest sister went regularly every year with the organised group until she was too old. So we kept in contact, and we were very, very pleased with the condition of the cemetery, which was beautifully kept. Not the parents of one of the Australians that we knew, but a family friend in Australia who had also lost their son. And when I was back home, having been discharged, they came over because they wanted to see where he had trained. He was an only child, and where he had trained and that sort of thing. So they came to visit us on their travels on behalf of Alan's parents. So that was interesting. It was nice to meet them. The reason my brother went into the Air Force in the first instance was because when he left school, he had an idea that he would like to be a GPO engineer, but he had to be 18, and he was only just 17, and my mother would not let him dawdle around for the next year and perhaps lose interest in things. So his second choice had been that he would like to go into the Air Force, so that's why he became an apprentice toolmaker.
You could say he was flying on Lancasters in nine squadron.
Oh yes, he was flying on Lancasters in nine group, and I had only been in the Wrens about 6 months when we heard that he was missing, and quite a shock. He was then 21 or 21 and a half. And it was rather sad that he had written to me a very long letter, which I still have, when I went into the Wrens, telling me what to do and what not to do and how to behave. I still have that letter. And I did get a letter from him after he was missing, I just heard, and this letter came, and I had sent him a letter which was returned to me as well, which was sad. His name was John Carter, but he was always called Jack. He always had been Jack, and I have seen his name, of course, on the memorial and the Australians. The two Australians in Jack's crew, one came from Melbourne and one came from Broken Hill, but I'm not sure which way round that was. But they fitted in very well when they came home with us, and on the way home, when we'd been to a dance, my brother used to be pointing out the stars to the other two and what they meant, which was quite interesting. And there was Jimmy Jubb and Alan Johns.
Why I joined the Air Force? Oh, God. In about 1941, I joined the Air Training Corps in Harrow. That was before there were several Air Training Corps squadrons around that area, and I stayed there in there before joining the Air Force. One of our civilian instructors took us, when I say us, the football team and the cricket team and athletics to an airfield just outside London, and he arranged for one of his colleagues who was stationed there to provide a Wellington for the day and to take us in twos, 15 of us. So I put my hand up quickly with my friend Peter Robbins, he died just after the war in an air crash, and we went up as the first two. We did one circuit and came in and landed because weather conditions. So out of all the people that went there for that day, only two of us had a flight by a Polish pilot, and the civilian instructor had bought a fountain pen that he was going to give to the pilot at the end of the day. And I always remember him saying, "What do I do with this now?" That was first flying, and from then on I went into the Air Force under the category of PNB, pilot navigator bomb aimer. I got 10 months deferred service, although I went in after 6 months with another course. And it wasn't long after that that all training of pilot navigators and bomb aimers was stopped. They got too many, and all they wanted at that time were air gunners or wireless operator air gunners. So I remastered as an air gunner and passed out in Dal Cross in Scotland. From there I went into a Wellington training course. That was forgotten the name of the title anyway, and we did a course at Silverstone, and from there we posted. This is all converted onto Lancasters at Cottesmore. By that time, both the wars had been ended, and I didn't do any operational flying. And then after that, after the Jap War ended, I went on to transport for about a year and a half, and then was demobbed. Oh yeah, at Cottesmore, we started flying on Lancasters, and there were ten crews, each of seven men, in the course, and one night. In a circuits and bumps operation, one of the Lancs crashed and they were all killed. But the crew that were killed, there were six officers in the crew and one rear gunner as a sergeant. But that rear gunner, because he was stationed with the officers and he had nowhere to go in the evening, he always booked in with us, with my crew. He reported sick the day before that crash to go with my bomb aimer to meet a couple of WAFs in Oakham, Rutland, and he survived, of course, but the man that, or the crew that took his place, a warrant officer, he and the six officers were all killed. That's just about a month after the Jap War ended. Remember that the pilot of that plane, who was on our course, he was getting married in 2 weeks' time from that time. Yeah. That's all. Yes. Yeah. During our time at Cottesmore, we were told that we were being trained for Tiger Force, which was the British government to send a force of RAF, Army and Navy out to the Far East to back up the Americans, who they recognise had done so much for us in Europe. So that's another point I never got to, really. When I came off flying I had another year and a half to do, to spend in the Air Force, and we were able to choose the next part of the RAF training that we wanted to. So I put down transport, and I was sent up to a place called Disford, RAF Disford, in Blackpool. And we trained on civilian cars, Austin 6s, and passed out there and was posted into a place called Hinton in the Hedges, where they were preparing all sorts of vehicles. Every lorry you could think of was being serviced, and every day we would report there to drive them up to Manchester, somewhere north of Manchester, and I think they were being issued to the French government. And then after that, I was given the job of driving the Army Matador with its trailer, eight-wheel trailer, and we were clearing all the radar equipment all around Cornwall and Devon because it was being destroyed by the salt in the sea situation, and I'd be sent out there to collect and bring them back to Welford near Reading. And then after that, of course, I was demobbed. We went out to Sutton Bridge. Do you know Sutton Bridge? I did there. Yeah, and the other place we went to was an army place up in Yorkshire. Well, there's not much to say about demob, really, is there? Oh, my goodness. When the war ended, and one of my best friends, who was, he had been a bomb aimer, we more or less lost contact because he got married, whereas I hadn't been married, but somewhere 6 months to 8 months after that, I met my wife, Pat, and it turned out that she had been in the services, demobbed a little earlier than me. She was in the Wrens, so we had quite a bit to talk about with the RAF and the Wrens. We were fiancés. We were fiancés for about a year, and now, of course, we've been married for 70 years. Takes place in about
September
this year. When I first met Pat, she gave up her dancing career, and when I gave up, I'd already, in order to meet people, I joined a cricket club, and I immediately packed that in. So we then went on to live in a small little flat. From that flat, we went into her mother's house, because her mother had retired and gone down to Port Isaac in Cornwall. And from there, we moved to North Harrow, another house. From there, we moved to Ickenham, a much bigger house. And when I retired, we came up to Dis in Norfolk, and we've made another move within Dis to get a smaller house to cut out the garden and the staircase. And here we are in a small, lovely little bungalow.
My mum worked as an estate agent. She was secretary. And up came what we called the flat, but actually it was the upstairs of somebody's house. So we had the front room and a bedroom, and the other bedroom had been turned into a kitchen, but there was nothing at all in it except a cooker. We had no hot water. We used to go to my sister's to get a bath once a week.
You should have said all that, actually, to her.